Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Chorley! Welcome to the Chorley Little Theatre! Please welcome a man who was at a West End premiere 2 days ago and is now in Chorley. It's Richard Herring! Thank you so much! Hello, Chorley! Lovely to see you again. Oh, thanks for coming along. Lovely to be here. Let's see if anyone can beat the world's record for a walk out at Chorley Little Theatre. Nope. They haven't done it. I think it was a bit longer than that. Welcome to Richard Herring's Living St Anne's is a Toilet podcast. You know it's true. I won't know the toilet in Lancashire. I'll just wait till I'm in Living St Anne's and just go anywhere. So I was hanging around at Camelot Theme Park in Charnock Richard. Yeah, it was a bit quiet. I'm quiet. There was a hen party there who'd been drunk there since 2012. And they called it Rahalastapa. Thank you, there we go, yes. Well, I actually stayed at... On the way from a gig, in a Lee and Herring tour in the 1990s, we stopped over at Camelot Theme Park for the night and to stay in the hotel there, not to go to... just because it was convenient on our way between two distant venues. And I was sharing almost a corridor with a hen knight. And I've kept awake all night by them. And I've just regretted for the rest of my life. I was single at the time. I've just gone and knocked on the door and said I was a stripper, shouldn't I? And just fucked every single one of them. That's what I should have done. But it would have been the polite thing to do. But I just sat in my room too nervous to say anything. Look, it's lovely to be here. Me and my wife I went to the premiere of the film Napoleon 2 days before recording. We didn't know it was a premiere, we just thought it was a screening. And luckily we were quite smart, but It was the whole red carpet being papped and everything. Ronnie Woods from the Rolling Stones was there with his granddaughter, I'm presuming. So nice. They were very close. We got papped on, me and my wife, we were just laughing because it felt like we shouldn't be there, right? It was proper stars. And then as we went down the road, we thought, all the photographers are just going to stop taking photographs. And then just silence as we walk past. But the photos turned out nice. Someone on Twitter said, I put a nice pic up, and someone said, someone's punching. But the thing is, she's got a nice personality, so I don't mind. I don't mind about that. Right, look, we're going to crack straight on. We've got a fantastic guest for you this week. She's probably best known for her appearance in Why I Love Geordie Shows. So it's Why I and Why I. It's very clever. We'll find out why she likes it. Will you please welcome the incredible Hayley Ellis, ladies and gentlemen. Hayley Ellis. Hayley Ellis. Why I? Why I? Why do you love which is Geordie Shore, isn't it, rather?
Geordie Shore. Yeah. I like the way you're trying to make it middle class. Shore. Shore. I just like trash TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
I've never seen it.
Not any reality TV.
I've seen some reality TV. I haven't lived in a fucking box. I haven't seen Geordie Shore. The only thing I've seen on Geordie Shore is when Sarah Millican dressed up as one of the people from Geordie Shore.
She did,
it was
the
sexiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I looked at Sarah Millican and I can't have her on the podcast anymore. I want her too much.
Yeah.
But luckily she's gone back to not looking like someone from Geordie Shore.
I would say she sends her love, but she doesn't.
It's good to know. Look, it's terrific to have you on, and I've been watching your... let's talk about that straight away, because this is an incredible thing that's happened to you in the last few years. You've done a great special about it called...
What is it called, Richard?
It's called...
Just seeing as you've watched it, Richard.
It's called The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
And during lockdown, you had... someone had sex with you, and then you had a baby.
I did have a baby. Yeah.
Wow! So she but unexpectedly. I mean, not you weren't planning to have a child.
No. Well, no. I sort of gone off the idea because I'm quite selfish, really, and I like nice holidays. So I was quite happy, and then found I was pregnant. It was a little bit of a shock, but a nice shock. A shock. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you know you sort of forget. I mean, you don't, but you sort of do forget that is. It's just something that can happen, isn't it? It's and then it's quite a life-changing thing that in 9 months' time, suddenly there'll be another person.
Yeah, it happened to you twice.
It's happened to you twice, but we did sort of think we were going to do it, so it wasn't like a big surprise.
Right, okay.
I didn't just come home one day and my wife said, "Hey, here you go, change his nappy." It's sort of weird to think that your life can change that much because, you know, I think you'd sort of decided...
Yeah,
that wasn't going to be the route you went.
Because I had a dog and I found that difficult. I've still got him, so I was like, "Oh God, who's going to look after it?" Me. But she's great. Yeah, you know, I've been to the cinema today. Been to watch Paw Patrol.
Oh yeah,
you go Napoleon.
Yeah,
I go Paw Patrol.
Oh, we've done a lot of those kind of things, though. We're going to see a Bluey Christmas show.
Means something different up north, doesn't it?
The Australian delightful cartoon dog. Bing. Do you watch Bing?
Oh, yeah, I can't stand Bing.
I know, we can't. I went to the live show of Bing in St. Albans, I think it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was in London. But it was on the day that England were playing, like, someone. They won 7-0 or something, and it was on the afternoon, so it was... It was actually during the World Cup or the European Cup or whatever, and I was sort of trying to watch it.
Did you have to meet them as well?
Yeah, I had my photo taken with Bing. He was a giant Bing.
Yeah.
Pando was in it, who's a cunt.
Yeah, it's the most irritating show I've ever watched.
I think if the live show involved, if they genuinely did this, I think if they just hanged Pando. Then the kids would be a bit traumatised, but the parents would walk out.
We'd love it.
You have to go and see this show. And I think not just they should kill the actor in there as well.
Yeah, just
so
as
they hang the puppet thing.
It's like a person in there, probably. And the other probably wasn't, actually.
We watched in the... I've been to see them all. We watched In the Night Garden live.
Yeah.
Actually, they sound quite good in the theatre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oopsie Daisy really belts out a tune. She's got some notes.
Yeah. See, Bluey is good, though. I think Bluey is one of the greatest TV shows there is.
Yeah. Even for adults, it's brilliant because it's funny.
It's funny, it's moving, and even the book, you get books of them, and the books are just like you read them and you start almost crying at the end. Like, there's one about, the book I've been reading to my son is about Bluey's, it's because I'm a dad, you know, but Bluey's dad, Bandit, not that I know all about it, has given up playing football because he has to look after the kids, you know, so he can't go and play football with his mates. And so then in their dreams, he says, she wants to be a fruit bat. So he says, you can dream about being a fruit bat. And so she dreams of being a fruit bat. And then she dreams of going to see her dad playing football. And then she sort of thanks him for looking after them at the end. It never fucking happens. Yeah. They never thank you.
It's also passing quite a lot of trauma onto the child. It's like, I could have been the next Peter Crouch, but I had to look after you.
Yeah,
so you go and be a fruit bat, do what you like, but your dad's suffering.
But even though it's just a cartoon book thanking a dad and not my actual children, it makes me feel good. My daughter is very stand-up. My son told me I was the greatest dad in the world today. So.
Aww.
So, it's kind of worse to have that.
But what did you have to do to get that compliment, though?
Nothing. I didn't do anything, really. I didn't. We had a little cuddle and he said, you're the best dad in the world.
Aww.
My daughter absolutely hates me. Like all women. It's amazing I've managed to procreate at all. Because women see through me, whereas boys do not see through me. Small boys and guys like you. Similar thing. Your special is, as a lot of people are doing now, it's up for free on YouTube. What's the thinking behind that? I mean, obviously you're on tour with another show now, isn't it?
Yeah, the thinking behind it is that no one would pay for it, so I just fucking put it out there. But I'm done now. I've done that tour, so I thought, I'm not going to sell anything, so I just put it out there. And the idea is you get people that haven't seen you before go, this is good, and they'll maybe come and watch me on this tour.
Yeah. It's an award-winning show.
It is an award-winning show, So. Two awards. Oh, actually, no, one was for something else. But I did win awards. I did the show here, the new show. And when I did it here, I hope they're not in. I don't think...
Is there not, man? There's not that many people in
show. No, trust me, these two wouldn't be in.
Okay.
So... Oh, no, now I'm worried.
Back for more.
Well... There was three people on the front. So there was two, I'd say, I don't want to get this wrong. So maybe in the 50s. And in the middle of them was quite a younger girl. So I just presumed, she looked very uncomfortable. So I just presumed that was their daughter.
Yeah. Think she's here?
It's not you, is it? Okay. So it was really, so the woman was sort of shouting things out. It was quite, and when I went to speak to them, it went really eggy.
Yeah.
So I said, is this your daughter? And it just went like it killed the whole room. It was like something really bad had happened. And I was like, all right, okay. During the interval, Ian, who runs the place, told me that the girl in the middle doesn't actually know the pair. She was in the pub coming to watch this show and they were pissed. And they said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to watch Hayley Allison Shawley Little Theatre. And they said, we'll come with you. Didn't know him. Right. And there was what are the chances of this? There was two fucking tickets left. And they bought them, right? Yeah. These drunk people. They come here with her. She would, and the fella refused to sit next to his wife. He wanted to sit next to the young girl. So they'd had an argument. Right. This is what you get in Chorley, isn't it? You get this in the Soho Theatre, Rich. So they'd had an argument because he was sitting next to this 19-year-old, wouldn't sit next to his wife. God. Yeah, it was so tense. So every time I speak to him, she's like, why don't you ask him about it? And I was like, oh, my God. It's just really, the whole thing was just really, everyone was on edge around him. It was just very, very, sort of like Mexican wave of egginess just went back. But then she was like heckling like weird stuff. So I'm from a place called Coniskey originally, so I'm talking about celebrities from where I'm from. And she just goes, my dad fought Jimmy Corkill from Brookside under a bypass in Skelmersdale. What do I do with that?
And the characters, not the actor. Is the He had to pay the actor to play the character. To have
but I just sort of went like this, and she went, "I'm not lying." I'm like, if I didn't think you were, because if you were, you'd make up something more interesting, or like Mick Jagger or someone, Jimmy Corkill. But yeah, and then at the end, she come and spoke to me, and she I think she was on some sort of substance.
Yes, that's
she told me she'd seen Chubby Brown a few weeks before, so that's sort of the clientele I drag in.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, but it's lovely to be back.
Not the last. When I did Lord of the Dance Settee here, this is what I was referring to, which is, you know, I've done some quite full-on religious material in my time.
Yeah, Christ on a Bike, I watched that.
Yeah, Christ on a Bike, and there were some moments in that. The opening, and I thought Lord of the Dance Settee, I thought I'm going to do a show that's more, that you know, maybe live at the Apollo, something that could go on that, and that's more people-pleasing. The opening routine is about how I used to think the lyrics to Lord of the Dance said he were Lord of the Dance said he.
Right.
And that was as a child, and doing some stuff about that. And a woman got up, and I believe her date is in the audience tonight. It was on a date. She was on a date with a guy, and she got up and said, how dare they? They can't take... How dare he joke about Lord of the...
A settee,
like a religious song. I think was her.
Okay.
She was upset that I was doing a childish mishearing of the lyrics of that song, and so she left.
Well, she's here tonight.
I think I've been told the person she was with, it was a first date, and I don't know how it went afterwards. Not very well, I'm guessing. I think he stayed, but he was tweeting earlier saying he had a spare ticket to tonight's show as well. So. Maybe he's here with someone else that he's picked up in a pub. Maybe that's just what they do in Chorley.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's good to see you again. Thank you for coming back. And let me know how the other date went. I think he did let me know how the date went. It was a while ago. So the standout routine in The Invisible Man for me, or the that I presume is a true story, is about a cushion with a photo on it.
Yeah.
And is that a true story?
Yeah, 100% true. So my granddad lives on his own. Nan passed away years and years ago. And he's like, the house is like a shrine to my nan. And there was a video that went viral during lockdown of an elderly man in a care home where the staff, he was sleeping with a framed picture of his wife under his pillow. And the care home staff got him a present, and the present was they bought him a pillow with his wife's face printed on it so he could sleep with that.
Yeah.
And my mum watched it on Facebook or whatever. She was like, I'm going to get your granddad one of those. I'm going to get your granddad one of those. And she ordered it. And when it came, I rung my granddad up because I speak to him every day at the same time. And I said, have you had any posts? Because I thought it was weird he weren't mentioning it. And he went, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, what have you had? He went, a cushion. I said, what's on it? He went, I think it's your nan's torso. And my mum had to resize the picture. So when she put it in, she just clicked it through. And it had sent her a proof. We found out later it had gone to a junk mail.
Yeah.
So when it came, it just got this fucking... my nan's cardigan. You can see the buttons down it. But I do you know what? I wanted to tell it straight away. My mum was like having none of it. She's like, it's not funny. Spent a lot of money on it.
It's kind of sweet that he recognised her cardigan.
Well, you can just see the edge of a chin on it as well. But then she ordered another one as well, which I don't say in the show, because she was like, I'm going to make up for this. And she ordered a picture of my nan and her when she's a little kid on another cushion. She should have learned a lesson. And on the other cushion, it's come and it's just... enlarged picture of me mum, so my nan's not even on that one. So now he's got a midriff of me mum's head. Fucking Dennis Nielsen. So yeah, she's quit now.
Yeah. I'm not sure having a pillow with the head of the deceased person is that nice a gift. I'm not sure the original guy would have been that happy. Just wait, ah! Because you'd wake up every morning and think, oh, ah! Were you like really horrible?
Yeah, especially if you've got dementia or something. Like, oh. Yes.
Oh, she's here. And then you just think I mean, there are guys, aren't there, who like have as I understand it, make sort of women out of pillows and have
tell me more about this.
And have cartoon thing. Have like cartoons. I think they have the full body thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of like, I mean,
no, my mum hasn't ordered one of them.
But it's I don't know. I don't know if that's a nice thing to do in the first place. That's what I would say. Mm. But it's good that it's led to a terrible disasters for your family.
Oh yeah, I love it. But with my mum though, I have to give it at least 6 months before I broach bringing it up. Like the other day, So I'm going to make this into a bit eventually, but she went round and she'd... there's just big clumps of garlic in the front of her garden, but not just like... What, there's like they're all like... You know, like she's making focaccia or whatever it is. How do you say it, Richard?
Focaccia?
Yeah.
You said it right.
But it's all in the lawn, and I said, "Why? What's that for?" And she went, "Oh, to stop the cats shitting in my garden, because she reckons they're targeting her." Right? They're not. So when she reckons when she goes out to work, they go, "Right, Pauline's out. We'll get to go around and shit on this." But then I just thought it was really funny. She's like, I was like, "Well, you're not going to, you know, detract the cats, but you are going to attract Italian men." But it's just, their garden looks an absolute, and it stinks, and it looks hideous.
Yeah, it stinks of cat shit and garlic.
Yeah.
Has it worked? Has it stopped the cat shitting?
No, still doing it, still doing it.
I mean, cats will shit.
Mm.
That's what they do. I've got a couple of them, and they love shitting.
Yeah, well, she reckons it's six. I don't know how she knows this, because she's not in the house. She reckons it's six different cats.
Right. That's some analysis.
Yeah, that is. It's like, she's been the lab. She's done the samples. But yeah, six different ones are targeting her house. So if you're in the North Wales area and you've got a cat, lock it up.
How does your mum... So does she... Because, you know, she doesn't... I mean, I'm not saying she comes out of it badly, but you are... You're, you know, very honest about her, and you sort of caricature a little, I would say.
Yeah.
Does she come and see you?
No, that's why I do it.
Okay.
Yeah, she doesn't watch. No, she's been, I think the whole time I've been doing this, she's maybe been twice.
Right.
And the first time she's seen that show, after it, she came up to me and I thought, "Oh, here we go." And she went, "I'm going to have to go, otherwise I'll miss me bus." So there was nothing, no feedback, no well done. Yeah, but she got a bus home on time, so that was great. That was great for you.
It's a weird thing with parents, and that's quite a common story, I think, with parents not being able... Maybe it's a generational thing as well.
I think it's a stand-up thing, isn't it?
Maybe it's a stand-up thing, but yeah, the parents don't really say anything.
Mm.
Probably because they don't like it, I think. That's probably why. They don't like what we're doing, and so they don't tell us they like it.
Yeah, she's not one for affection. I know she loves me, she just doesn't say it very often.
It's the opposite of my daughter. I know she doesn't love me, and she doesn't say it. So that's all good. It's difficult to find stuff about you online, so I'm going to ask you questions, because there isn't... You haven't left much of a...
Career?
No, you've got a good career.
Yeah.
There isn't much of a footprint there telling you... Most people I can find out some details about their life. The best thing I've found out about you, I would say, is... This isn't even that good. You did a benefit for a vagina museum. That's the only tidbit I found. It's not a tidbit, is it? That's why I've not had much luck with women.
I did with Rosie Jones. There's a vagina museum in London. It took me ages to find it. but they were opening it, and I did the open. Sounds wrong, doesn't it? I was at the opening of the vagina museum. So surreal, because basically they've got a penis museum in Iceland. I think they've got a few penis museums.
Well, I went to the penis museum in Iceland for my book Talking Cock and my show Talking Cock.
Yeah.
So I've been to... There is a penis museum. It's only the penises of Icelandic mammals, though.
Right, that's disappointing.
So if you want to see the penises of any mammal that isn't indigenous to Iceland, human beings include... There is a human penis in there now. There wasn't when I went.
Right.
I left just left
How
mine
How many
there.
Times have you been, Richard?
I've only been once. I just left mine and said, "Oh, you missed one." No, a local Nazi called Paul Arison finally died and left his penis, presumably in a Hitler salute. I think it's them. I can probably say that about him. I think he was a Nazi anyway, but yeah. There is... It's nice there's a vagina museum. So the vagina museum's in London, not in Iceland.
No, it's in London, yeah. They sort of were like, why is... Andrea Hubert, I was talking to another comic, and she was like, surely the whole world's a male penis museum. but they wanted to do a vagina museum because there's... Penis museums, like, we should have a vagina. The vagina museum's really interesting, and so it's quite... It is actually dead interesting. They've got all stuff about like the pH in vaginas, not the spelling, like the thing that dyes your knickers different colours and stuff like that.
The acid and alkalinity, vaginas. Do they vary a lot? How far do they go?
Well, I don't know. I didn't really, because I was just sort of doing the show, but I've seen like little things on the way around. It's fascinating. Like the first dildo, they had like... the first dildo and stuff about the...
That should be in the penis
museum.
It
should be. I was just thinking that as I said it. I was like, the first thong, I don't know what. But it was fascinating, because he had lots of like lecturers and stuff doing like speeches on vaginas and throughout the ages and things like that. And then I had to go on talk about my mum and a cushion. but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, good. Well, well done for that. So I don't know too much about you. What was, I mean, in terms of your journey is to become a comedian, what were you doing before you were a comedian and what made you want to be a comedian?
Lack of affection from parents is a big factor in me doing it. So I, before this, I had a few jobs, but directly before doing stand-up, I was working as a teaching assistant in schools. And that was heavy going because I was on supply because I just started doing this. I think what I'd always wanted to do something entertainment-wise, I think. And I tried doing acting and I just wasn't good enough. So then I sort of did a bit of like a stand-up course. And then sort of got my foot in the door that way. So I was doing teaching assistant work at the same time as starting out in stand-up. So I was on supply. So they just sent me to the roughest schools that no one else would want to go to, which was like pupil referral units. So for children being expelled from mainstream school, I'd be sent in. So I'd die on my arse in a gig in Hull. Right, and then I'd have to be up at 7 o'clock to go and then physically have a threat to my life in an area of Manchester by a kid called... Oh, I was actually going to say the name then, but you'll have to bleep it. But yeah, it was very full on.
So, you know, for most people, going into stand-up comedy is sort of terrifying, but for you it was sort of better than what you were doing in the daytime.
Yeah.
Less scary.
Less physical threat.
Yeah.
I can deal with silence, you know. I've been my partner 10 years. But, like, aggression. Like, one kid, one day I went to a school. I forgot about this. And then the head teacher, I'd never been there before. And the head teacher sort of said, can I have a word? And not on supply, they never did this. She's like, can you come into the room for a minute? And I'd never been in the school before, so I thought, I haven't done anything wrong. And then she was like, just to let you know, if you want to leave at any point, you can. So I was like, how fucking bad is this? Like, she's going to give me like a safe word or something. Because it was like,
wow.
Like a girl tried to set me on fire. Not even bonfire night, just like a normal month. I think it was February. And then I have a routine about it, which I do. Just getting the names I got called.
Like,
you can imagine. Guess what I got called?
I can think of much worse things than the kids would say. Smellis?
No, just got that in mainstream school.
Okay.
It was mainly like, you prostitute.
Okay, it was not as witty as me.
Dirty slag, which was a guess.
I didn't realise I was going to be allowed to just swear at you. I thought if I'd known I could just say rude things, you would have been right in there to say,
just like,
this was an opportunity for me. Dirty, was it whore? Were you a dirty whore? So, you know, you don't get many opportunities like this, guys, and I left. Sorry.
Just clip that bit dirty off. But, yeah, just everything.
Yeah.
So it sort of makes you bulletproof.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I can deal with a woman shouting out about having a fight with Jimmy Corkill in a breeze.
Because you are, like, you know, again, one of the awards you won recently was for Best MC, and you are kind of renowned for... And being an MC, it's kind of a hard job, and it's often a thankless job, because often the thing that happens with MCs is people come up to you afterwards and go, you're good enough to be one of the proper comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a real misunderstanding of what the job is, because they have to... a good host has got to be as funny as anyone, but also be able to get things going and judge the mood, right? What's the skill that makes you...
I don't know, I guess sort of being likeable without being too aggressive, because you need to lay down ground rules.
Yeah.
So people, it's not a free for all.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be too aggressive where they're like, oh, I don't like her. Do you know what I mean?
Shut
the fuck up. Anyway. So you've got to be, well, although sometimes I do that when it's Christmas gigs.
Yes.
I do, especially if I've had no sleep and my kid's been up all night, I will lose my rag. But I guess it's being a sort of finding that even balance of being likeable and then wanting to talk to you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is that balance, because it's... You've got to... I mean, the teaching thing is the same thing. You've got to be in control.
Yeah.
But you've got to allow a little bit of... And, you know, you can't be a party pooper.
Yeah.
And you've got to allow a bit of anarchy. But if someone misses the mark...
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to shut them down in an aggressive way. So it's very difficult.
Yeah. Christmas is the worst, as you know, because... it's a lot of works parties who would never normally go to comedy.
Yeah.
And they are being forced to come and watch something they don't want to watch.
Yeah.
So we did a gig in Hereford, and it was like a brewery. We're on like a works night out, okay. And I was the MC. And behind the curtain, before I even gone on, I could hear them belching and like farting and stuff, and like they're like, and they're all like wetting themselves laughing at it, and I was like, oh god, I've got to go on. Ah, yeah, like it was just, and they were like screaming stuff out, just chanting, like they were chanting to me, get your top off and things. Like that. But my boyfriend was like, oh, you're wearing that jumper, that horrible jumper. And I'm like, that's not why they're shouting, get your top off. Like, put a blouse on.
Just giving you fashion advice. Try this. Yeah. It'll suit you much better. There's the loveliest hecklers in the world rather than the disgusting animals they actually.
Maybe a V-neck glove. but to calm that down, yeah, was just something else, because you sort of have to go, right, well, there's only so much I can do before they have to get security involved. They did get thrown out eventually, not for me, but it's like calming them down, but then also not, you know, making it for everyone else who's paid for a ticket and wants to listen to it.
Of course. I mean, but also I think with MC is, if you know, you as a comedian, if you have a horrible gig, you come off and you go home, or you go to the next gig and it's fine. If you're an MC and you've had a horrible bit, you've got to come back on or three more times.
Me again? Oh, doesn't mean it. So if they don't like it, then you're there all night. Yeah. And then you'll see them in the fucking car park as well, and they'll tell you they don't like you as well. So that's always fun when you can't get in your car and someone's going, I don't actually like you very much. What do you think, Dave? Oh, just need to go now.
But you do very well, so that doesn't happen very much.
No, not very often. I can tell you the dates.
It's interesting. All comedians will. I mean, there are some comedians, you read their books and their autobiographies, and it's like they never talk about dying, and they never talk about having a bad gig. And I don't for a second believe it. Either they just don't have the awareness to know when they're not going well, which I think is true of some. They just believe every gig's brilliant because they believe in themselves so much.
There are people like that, though. Like, I don't think he gigs anymore. There was someone, and I remember when I started, and he absolutely stank the room out, like, literally horrendous.
Yeah.
And then he come off and he went, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really good. And I was like, fucking hell. And I used to think, I wish I had that lack of self-awareness. Yeah. But now I don't. I'm glad, because I'd like to, you know, when I'm dying, at least I'm aware of it, and I can go, I need to do better, or I need to do something else.
It's good to know, but I think it's sort of the very best and the very worst acts have that absolute self-belief.
Yeah.
So like it's a fine, if you're very good, luckily it's okay. You can be that arrogant, but if you're not good, it's sort of the worst thing that you could possibly.
And I just started and thought, I don't even have to tell any jokes. This is great.
Well, you know, it's great that fuck off. I'm just going to talk to myself. Fuck off, Rich. You're a load of shit. Right, I was listening to you. Fuck off your shit at this job. Good.
Repeating what your daughter says.
I was just going to say, it's great that you've done so well, and just fuck off. Fuck off. I did your job for you.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Look, I was listening to your... I'm really glad to hear Barry Dodds and you are doing a podcast together. I love Barry. He's been on before.
Yeah.
He's very special in every sense. How did you two get together and tell us a bit about the podcast?
So Barry's one of my best mates. He's a comic and he's one of my really good friends. We talk all the time anyway. So if you have a long car journey as a comic, you're always on the road, we'll chat. And then we thought, well, we should just do a podcast and see if other people like it and stuff. And luckily, because we've both got OCD diagnosed, and we worry a lot about everything.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we work each other up about stuff that we probably shouldn't worry about. It's called The Worriers, and we basically discuss what we've been worried about this week, and then people send in their worries and we answer it. But he's a joy to work with, and it's fun. It's just us having a catch up like we would normally do, but we just record it.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's quite easy, you know. When I was listening to you, were talking about, or maybe it was in one of the stand-up sets, talking about like how you kind of drive home and you're kind of furiously thinking about and worrying about stuff. So it is obviously like a something you can joke about. But
yeah,
it's sort of an issue as well. It's a difficult.
Oh yeah, we're mentally unwell.
Yes.
But it's ridiculous stuff that we worry about. And it's nice because then you'll get people messaging in and they'll say something even more ridiculous. And you're like, okay, that makes me feel slightly better.
Yeah.
Because when I was bad with my OCD, and this is where it started off, I was worrying, this is before I got diagnosed as well, I was worrying that I was knocking people over on the road when I was driving, even though I knew I had it, I knew it was batshit.
Yeah.
So I was driving back round to check I hadn't knocked anyone over.
Okay.
bless.
I mean, it's nice. It's, you know, so considerate hit and run driver.
But then it like escalated.
Yeah.
This is where I had to go to the doctor. I mean, we laugh about it now. It wasn't funny at the time. So I was doing that, and then I went to I just had my daughter, and I went to Knowsley Safari Park, and I'd convinced on the way out there was two camels stood like blocking the entrance, and I had to drive through them. Not under the legs, like there was loads of space.
Yeah.
And I convinced myself in my head that I'd clipped a camel. Right. And I was checking the rear view. It's fucking batshit. I was checking. Is any mental health people in? I was checking the rear view mirror because I thought I'd convinced myself I knocked over a camel. But I couldn't go back in to check because obviously you have to pay again.
Yeah, you don't want to pay.
So I got home and I was in a terrible state. And I was saying to my boyfriend, I mean, he puts up with a lot of shit. I was like, I think I've knocked over a camel. And he was like, you'd know about it if you'd knocked over if a camel. The car would be dented to fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was crying about it and everything. Yeah. And because it'd be looking, then he was all right because he realised, you know, I'm unwell. And then I spoke to my friend who's he's got another friend of mine called Shay who's got a lot he's got OCD as well, and we were talking about it. And I had a gig that night, and I was like, I can't go. I'd worked myself up so much about it, and he calmed me down. And I went to the gig, and as I'm driving there, he rung me to check I was all right. And he went, I'm not even like made this up for a stand up routine. He went, are you all right? Have you still got the hump? I was like, I'm not. But I had to, luckily, I'm medicated now, so I don't have these instances as often.
Yeah, is it? I mean, you know, obviously, like it's a bit bigger than this, but you know, obviously, a lot of comedians are getting diagnosed with various things, and I wonder whether, you know, there's something. You know, I've got it to a tiny degree where I'll go back and check the front doors locked, you know, four mm-hmm. times and all that sort of stuff sometimes. So you know, that's not as good as knocking over a camel. I'll give you that. But do you think it's part of what makes comedians that they look at the world in this way, and that worrying about things is a way of, you know, in an exaggerated way, is a way of creating, you know, it's similar to the way you'd create comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I catastrophize a lot. I worry that I've upset people a lot. It's another thing which Barry's similar to me, and that's when we talk about that.
Yeah.
A lot, especially when we do the live shows, because we do live shows now.
Right.
So we're like the worst, because we'll do a live show going, do you reckon we should have said that? like, some of the two worst people, but the best people to work with at the same time. But yeah, comedians, I think a lot of comedians are like, sort of got some, like you say, that we have something that makes us the way we are.
But also by talking about it, I think, you know, it's obviously helpful for other people, but and for you as well, because you, the minute you, I think what's great about comedians generally is that you know, we'll talk about things that most people would be too embarrassed to talk about,
yeah,
or would be ashamed to talk about, or you know, or what, you know, and actually if they see somebody else talk about it, they go, oh, I don't have to be ashamed about that, or it can be funny, or it can be interesting,
yeah,
or it's just good to talk about.
Exactly, yeah, and we have people messaging us as well saying, oh, it's nice, refreshing to laugh about it,
yeah,
instead of having all this. But I used to do this bit, and I can't do it anymore because it's, not only is it unrelatable, no. Do you know, like, you do one thing, you think, there must be someone who's also mentally unwell who does this. And there was no one. And so I used to... oh, God, I can't remember. I'm going to admit this on it. But I used to, as like, you know, before gigs,
yeah,
someone told me that if you put water on your earlobes, it helps calm you down.
Okay.
And on your temples. And I started putting it in my belly button. And then it became a thing. And I started talking about it, and people were like, no. Like, at mental health nights as well, like, people at mental health nights were talking the full range of the spectrum. They're like, ooh, why are you doing that? And I'm like, oh, God. There's nothing. And I put it online as well, because, like, they're knocking people over. So, a thing is, I didn't realise, like, when I Googled it, there's stuff there with other people saying,
yeah,
various different things. I think this water in the belly button, nothing.
No one's ever.
Not even on the dark web. There's nothing. So I've had to knock that on the head. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good to find the one thing that makes you an individual.
That's why I'm not on live at the Apollo.
I'm going to start doing it. Just out of sympathy for you, so that you don't feel that you're the only one who does it. So, how much water do you have to put in? Is it full? Are you sort of limboing on? But assuming you're an innie, you might be an outie.
I am an innie. An outie would be pointless, wouldn't it? It would just be pointless.
Yeah.
Your wife is going to be like, why is your stomach wet, Richard? That's what the hell is. It's watering.
Well, yeah, it's great. Well, the one I listen to is great. And, you know, both of you are terrific. So it's the Warriors. Do look out for that. Yeah, if I found out through listening to this, you're trying to avoid wheat and dairy.
Yeah, so I've done this... I'm in a terrible mood. So I'm doing these, like, I feel like shit all the time at the minute. I think it's just because of my age, but I'm refusing to admit defeat. So I've done, like, these intolerance tests. So you send away your blood,
yeah,
and they sort of say what food you're reacting to. So I sort of thought I was wheat intolerant anyway, because when I have pasta, I feel like horrendous after it. So it's come back. It tests you against 250 foods. I eat 4 foods, and I'm allergic to the 4 foods that I fucking eat. Okay. But I can have octopus, apparently, okay, and tiger nut, like a fucking bush tucker trial. But I can't have bread, can't have milk. And it says, it breaks it down in the forms, it's like, and you can't have milk. It says cow's milk, then it's like goat's milk and sheep's milk.
Yeah.
I was like, the fuck's eating sheep's milk? Oh no, a pint of sheep's milk's gone. So I can't have any of that. I'm a vegetarian anyway, so I don't eat meat or fish. And now I don't eat dairy. I don't eat wheat. So I just eat crisps now.
Yeah.
But it's meant to make you more healthy, but I'm just eating crisps.
Eating bad stuff. Well, I'm doing a diet where I had to send my blood in and stuff, but it's not quite the same. But and so yeah, they recommend foods that will keep your blood level, you know, without peaking.
Yeah.
So I've started making, yesterday I made bread out of oats, seeds, nuts. And something called psyllium. I don't even know what it is.
I'm allergic. No, it's on the list. No idea.
And it's quite nice, though. It's not really bread, I wouldn't say. I'll have some back at my hotel. You could come back and try.
Ladies.
it's for my breakfast. I'm not sharing it. It's sort of all right. But so, you know, I wonder if you could do something like that. But
that take, though?
Well, it's quite easy to make. It just takes a couple of hours once you...
Hours?
Wait, but you just mix it all together in a tin, leave it for a couple of hours, and then put it in the oven for an hour. So it takes time, but you can do other stuff.
Yeah, but it takes 2 minutes to open a bag of crisps.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I should be having, like, overnight oats and stuff like that. I should be doing that, but I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm either going to get rickets or I'm going to have to tap out. I'm giving it a month, so I'm going to see how I get on.
Yeah. How far into the month are you?
One day. No. 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Honestly, I'm so irritable as well.
Oh, yeah. So you know, it's not making you feel better?
No, it's making me fucking angry.
Yeah, okay.
Like, because I just love butties. I love butties. I love cheese. And vegetarian cheese, vegan cheese, I just can't find a nice one. People have sent me recommendations, and I'm working my way through the list at the minute. Yeah. So maybe I'll make your special bread.
I'll make your loaf and send it to you at the post. I think you'll be all right. I think you'll survive the journey.
So what have you got to cut out then?
It's sort of more about substituting stuff to make it. So, like, I can... It's just... Yeah, well, the things that are bad are the obvious things, like sugar. And Solero. I used to eat a Solero a day, at least.
A day?
But now I have one every 3 days. That's my little trip.
If I've had a good day,
I'll... So if you can eat, like, nuts and stuff, and avocados are really good. And
yeah, nuts are on my list.
And you don't actually eat nuts?
Yeah, I can't.
No, you can't have my bread.
I pull it out to my boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, I can't have that either. That's on the list. I can't have nuts either. Avocados I can.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, beans and stuff like that and vegetables. It's obvious, really.
Yeah.
But Katie's doing it as well. My wife's doing it as well. And her it's different scores depending on who you are. So things are different.
Katie's like an angel, though, isn't she? I bet she whips up like an absolute feast with just some beans or something.
No. I've been cooking everything because I've been doing this. I've been cooking nearly everything for the last 3 months. She's having the time of her life. And it is quite nice. But it's stuff I would never have eaten before, like tahini. A lot of tahini. I'd never eaten tahini before.
Never even heard of it before,
yeah,
actually.
It's quite nice, though.
What is it, like a hummus thing?
It's like, it's part of hummus. It's when you make it, you put it together with hummus. Are you enjoying this? I don't know how much, how entertaining this is. But, yeah, I'm enjoying talking
to you
about it.
It's entertaining. It's useful for me, though.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what this is partly about. Mm. It's partly about that. So yeah, well, you know, that's... But you've sort of got to eat what you like as well. So it's,
yeah, miserable.
But then if you're genuinely allergic, then it's...
I don't think I am. No. I was absolutely... It made me happy. I think I'm allergic to happiness. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Be happy. I'll tell you what makes you happy. A Solero a day keeps the doctor away. That's what they say.
I'm surprised you haven't turned like an orange tinge.
So nice. It's only 99 calories. I used to have it because I used to do calorie control diets. and it was 99 calories, but it's really fun. And you only want one. The problem with me is if most sweet things, if I eat one of them or a pack of crisps,
yeah,
I'll eat the whole thing.
Why'd you just munch your way through a box of Solero?
I could do, but a Solero, I stop. I have one and I stop. Once you pop, you can't stop. That's the a Solero have not been in touch with me yet to offer me a contract.
I can't understand why.
And you could be like me if you only eat Soleros. Imagine how long did you last if you only ate Soleros and nothing else? There's a bit of fruit in there, right? There's mango and...
Yeah, one eat five a day. During the summer, I think I could do that for a month.
Yeah.
And absolutely smash it.
I might do. You know the guy who only ate McDonald's for a month, didn't he? And then nearly died. I'm going to try a year of only eating Soleros. It's got milk in it. It's got to be good for you, right?
I'd just love to see you glowing.
I'm only eating the exotic ones. I'm not eating the mixed berries. They're fucking dog shit.
No,
That's what might be why Solero's not so interested.
It's dog shit.
Buy Solero's. They're great. Not the fucking mixed berries. Dog shit. I'd rather eat dog shit. Genuinely, I would.
Over a Solero?
Over a mixed berry.
Over a mixed berry Solero, you'd have dog shit.
I'd eat frozen dog shit.
If I would have known that, I would have brought them on like a plate and we could have done a trial. They don't have jokes either, do they, on the Soleros?
No, they don't. Is there jokes on any lollies anymore?
Yeah, the mini milks, I think, still do. They
still
do a joke. No, they don't? Someone very disappointed.
I think you're living in the 20th century. I love that man knows, though. No! I have been buying mini milks in the hope of those jokes coming back. I hope you've got kids, mate, because it's a fucking weird... Get a grown-up lolly like a Solero, mate. Sophisticated. Let me ask... I'll ask you some emergency questions just because people will be cross if I don't. I'm going to go from the book Would You Rather?
Yeah.
Which is... this is suitable for children, this book. Unlike all my other books, my editor was rigorous and she cut out a bit where I said, would you rather be sucked off by a tornado or something? I wasn't even allowed to say that. So let's have a look. Okay, I don't know if I can say this one.
Okay.
I've never asked anyone this. Would you rather suffer from arachibutyrophobia, which is, if you don't know, is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth.
Okay.
Or hippopotam monstro sequipedaleophobia, fear of long words.
I'd quite like peanut butter in my mouth at the minute, because yeah. I'm not. It's on the list. I wouldn't mind that.
No.
Yeah.
Even if it's stuck, it's that claggy thing. If it's stuck at the top of your mouth.
I just enjoy having nuts in my mouth, but I don't. Yeah, that wouldn't bother. I don't use long words, though, as you've gathered during this interview. So
why has it got hippo? I can't find the question now, but why is it hippo, hippopotamo, monstro? That can't be it. Why does it start hippopotamus? Hippopoto, monstro, Seth. That's not the fear of long words. Why is there hippopotamus in there? That means water horse.
You wrote it, didn't you?
I didn't create the words.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'll try another one that's not so terrible. If you could change one thing about the human body, that's for all of us,
yeah.
Which one thing would you rather change?
Ooh.
Is there anything you think that could improve humanity?
Oh, for humanity, I was just thinking of myself.
Well, it could be yourself, but it's every. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a change, it's going to be a change to every single person.
Give Michael Jackson over there. Yeah. Make a change real good. Oh, God, that's really tough, that. I've got to think about humanity now. I was just thinking.
Well, think about yourself.
Have a smaller nose. for the great of other people. What would you
do? You've got a good nose. I'd go bigger with your nose if
bigger?
I was.
Bigger? Yeah. No, I don't need to give caricatures something to add to the list.
I like a big nose on a person.
Do you?
Yeah. Something to hold on to, isn't it, for a start. And I think it just gives a bit
of... What are you doing during sex?
It's big enough. It's a good bit of character, you know, a little petite nose is too...
Is Pinocchio like porn for you, then?
Look at that. No, because it starts small and then gets big. It has to be big. It has to be big all the time.
Oh, God. I mean, maybe cut out the part of the brain that could be selfish.
Okay, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
But would that could be a Ricky Gervais film. That's how good an idea. That's how good an idea we've got there. And you get rid of selfishness and then we discover the world isn't quite as good as we
thought. That we actually need selfishness.
Yeah, it might be quite good, though. It might be good if no one was selfish. But then it would be... I think it would just get irritating because everyone would be going, no, after you.
Yeah.
No, nothing would get done. You need those. I sort of feel like all the parts of society that are unpleasant and awful, they're sort of necessary, nearly all of them are necessary at some point for survival, right? So selfishness is necessary for survival. Probably being like patriotic and even, you know, xenophobic is probably helpful at certain points. The points where, you know, the people who are absolute cunts who will kill everyone and run into, you know, you need them in a war. So it's at a certain time. People who are absolute fucking cunts.
I feel like this is a recruitment
you'll need them, anyway.
Speech.
If you're fighting the aliens, you need them to run in and shoot them with big guns. So everyone's got a purpose, but then, you know, so...
Yeah, and also if my partner wasn't selfish, I wouldn't have stuff to say on stage.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever you do, there's going to be some repercussion, isn't there?
There, you would change things too much with that. And also you're starting doing brain surgery on people. So it's sort of...
I haven't got to do it, have I? I've got to make the change on every
you've
person.
You've sort of started talking about cutting out part of people's brains.
Do you know what it is? I watched Saw 10 the other night and he has to remove part of his brain. I think that's what it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you watched
Napoleon?
Have you watched the other 9 Saw films?
You don't need to, Richard. Okay. You can just dip in and out of
them. Just start at 10?
Yeah, start at 10, work your way backwards. Yeah.
Have you watched the Human Centipede, the film The Human Centipede?
I have seen that, several times.
If you were a mad scientist was going to put you in a human centipede, but allowed you to choose the person in front of you and the person behind you, who would you like?
Oh God!
In front of you and behind you.
So I get to shit in someone's mouth.
Yep. How about
someone has to shit in my mouth? Yeah. See, instantly I was going to say Mark Owen in front of me, but not now. So like Mark Owen from the 90s.
Right. Okay.
But also, he looked like he ate quite healthily as well. Yeah. It's probably like the similar diet I'm on now that would be going in. Behind me, Gillian McKeith. See how she fucking likes it. Yeah.
Very good.
You've been in the support act for quite a lot of big comedians. Mm-hmm. Who is the biggest monster that you've been in the support act for, and is it Sarah Millican?
I did tell her I was coming on this, and she just went, Richard who? I had to explain, and then she remembered.
Yeah.
It took a bit, though, about 10 minutes.
It's fine.
Sarah, no, I have actually done support for you, weirdly.
Have you?
Well, not... Yeah. Not actual proper support. I was MC when you were doing an Edinburgh preview, so it wasn't support. Just killed the room before you went on. That was when it very first started. No one's a monster, really, that I've done it for.
You've done quite nice acts.
I've done lovely acts, like Sarah, Jason, John, Bishop. So, yeah, they've all
Roisin
Connolly,
you've been...
Kerry Godleman.
Oh, she's nice as
well. Yeah, they're all lovely.
There are some bad comedians out there.
There's some awful.
People are starting to find out. But you've managed to avoid them so far. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are all... I mean, it'd be terrible if... Roisin Connolly turned out to be a terrible predator of some kind.
No, it just wouldn't. She's just an absolute delight, as they all are.
Yeah, they are. No, good. Well, there's no nothing we need to cut out then, unfortunately.
No.
Luckily. like me, you've done a job I've done, which I managed to do for a week, I think.
What's that?
Which was right for Russell Howard's Good News.
Oh, yeah.
But you've managed to do a series, I think.
Yeah, but I wasn't doing, like... So I was watching, like, the regional news.
Okay.
So, but they give me, like... I can't say. They give me a specific news channel, and it was just fucking tragic. So what you do is you watch, like, It wasn't North West Tonight, because that's fucking bants, that's fun. and you'd watch it and go, oh, here's something funny, that something's happened. No, and they go, oh, an otter got stuck today in a sock. And then I'd look at that and write jokes about it. But they give me... like a channel, and it was like 17 people died today, and I had to watch that for half an hour every night, and it was just like miserable story after miserable story, like a serial killer, and I'm like, oh, fuck it, there's no jokes in it. I had to try and like come up with stuff, and it was like, yeah, it was hard.
Oh, right.
And then they switched me to North West, and I was fucking on a book. I was like, this is great.
I ate all those. There were big bowls of Haribo, and I just kept on eating the Haribo.
That's probably why there's none there when I went.
That's why I had to leave.
Freezer empty of Soleros.
It was. It was in the days when I would eat Haribo. But again, Haribo, I can't leave. They're very nice here at Troy Little Theatre. Like, too nice. No one ever does Riders. And there's like 100 sandwiches in my room. There's some Haribo like laid out like it's a shrine to Haribo. Like in little packets. There's, we'll talk about it, there's Chorley Cakes, should have mentioned, I'll talk about that. There's lots of different Chorley cakes.
They're seething now because they're like, I should have got Soleros.
They got Soleros, they would have tested me. They usually bring an ice cream in the interval. Don't bring an ice cream in the interval. I'm not eating ice cream. I don't eat any ice cream. And don't bring me a Solero.
They've got a big box of Uncle Joe's mint balls as well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
But I've managed not to eat a thing. Which is sort of quite rude. when someone's brought a load of sandwiches. Apparently the people working on the panto are going to have a great feast tomorrow because we're not even getting into the stuff. I can't believe how quick... I thought we'd done about 20 minutes.
How long have we done?
We've done like eight. We're nearly finished. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Did you used to have a rider? Have you ever had a rider?
In the early days. But I think the 90s were just different. So you would do a theatre and we weren't even doing very well. And I'm sure you paid for it because at some point. But there would always be like a big platter of sandwiches at least.
Yeah.
We didn't really say what we wanted. But I think you could occasionally say what you wanted. We'd have dinner, we'd come to the theatre, have the sandwiches, and then we'd do the show, get drunk, and then go and have a curry afterwards.
Fucking hell.
It was great times.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was a young man, so I could get away with it.
That's the thing, I look back now, and I used to do a gig in London, so I was living in Manchester at the time, and the money was dog shit, but I got a free curry.
Right.
And I used to fucking love it. And I'd drive sick. I didn't need to get there in time. So I'd set off at like 10 o'clock to make sure I got there in the time to have enough curry.
Yeah.
And then I was losing money doing the gig.
People don't... I think promoters and people who work in theatre don't realise how stupid and cheap comedians are. That genuinely, that kind of thing... you know, I think I come back to this theatre all the time. They're very nice here.
Yeah,
and I will always come back to this theatre if they want me. But, you know, it's sort of just... not, it's nice just to be true. You know, like, if you get a little of something backstage, you go, oh, yeah. I like this place. Whereas, you know, the theatres then started just charging you. Like, if you had a bottle of water, you would get charged for the bottle of water. You know, so they would tell you you're going to get paid charged.
Just looking at that glass, thinking how much of a drunk.
I think we're okay here. So, yeah, so it's, you know, it's kind of... things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
But any pot... I've had a couple of, like, musicians. Fucker. I present Top of the Pops. I don't know why. I had my own Radio 1 show and my own Six Music show. Pop musicians. We've had a couple of rock stars on this tour. And they've sort of come backstage expecting there to be booze and everything laid on, you know, which I don't think many comedians...
No, and it's just your nut bread there.
Yeah. But Lee Mack was a bit upset there was no food backstage. And I said, oh, I've just made myself a chili. And he said, you could have offered it around.
Just out of a bag.
Out of a little flat vacuum. I make my own food now and bring it in a vacuum flask.
Oh, God.
I'm 56 years old. Looking good though, aren't I? Look at this. I mean, you know, what's the point of 56?
What are we looking at? Sorry, Richard.
I'm slightly thinner than I used to be. What's the point? I'm 56. I should have done it when I was 23, when I was in that hotel with all those girls. So look, we'll quickly talk about what's coming up. This won't go out for ages, but it may help. You're doing a current show, which is called Hayley's Comic.
Yep.
Is that then you're touring that in 2024 as well? You've been doing it through...
Yes, it's going through 2024, yeah. So I'm doing some tour support for Sarah again, which is lovely. Yeah. If you want me to pass on any messages, I won't.
Say, ask her to dress up as Geordie Shore again. And send me some photos.
So I'm doing that, and then I'm doing my own tour as well, which is going throughout the year. When will this go out? 2026? 2027?
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably I might hold it back a bit now. It'll go out, I think, in about, I don't know, let's see. I would say about April or May. So it's going to be next year.
So I'm doing that. Just surviving.
Yeah, and winning awards and being a mum. Being a surprise mum. And yeah, are you enjoying the surprise of being with your daughter's three now?
Yeah, she's great. She's started asking for stuff now, and he can have conversations now at three, which is lovely. Because he doesn't talk to me anymore, so it's nice to have someone in the house that does. She's just nice. Yeah. It's just nice. I like that, like, innocence of being like enjoying stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Nice. I sort of miss it. Katie wants to have another baby. We shouldn't talk about this on the podcast. I really don't want to have another
baby. You've got to.
I'm 56. I was just thinking, when I'm 70, I might be able to sort of start doing things again.
Yeah, I know.
And then if we have a baby now, it's like when I'm 80, when I'm 75, I'll be free to go on holidays again.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Because everyone, as soon as you have one, everyone's like, when you're having the next one, you're like, oh my God, I've still got placenta in me. And you're asking me, like, then you just start getting back to normal, and then
people. I think once you got through the first 5 years, it's a bit. I mean, I do love it's so lovely when they're little, but once you're through the first five, you kind of think, do you want to go back and do that for another 5 years? Even if you're doing two at once, then at least you get through it a little bit.
How close is the age gap between yours two?
2.5 years.
So you sort of like in the thick of it, and then you've had the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You should.
Okay, we'll do it. That means I have to have sex a third time. We'll give it a go. Hayley, it's always lovely to see you, and thank you, so much for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the amazing Hayley Ellis.
Thank you.
Well, we'll come back next week. We've got more. You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Hayley Ellis. Scant regard, do the music. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and Ben Evans, not that one. I thank you also to Ben Cliff and George Lingford and everyone at Chorley Little Theatre. What a wonderful place it is to be, unlike all the other shit hops. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFastTheStrike.com production.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. RichardHerring.com/ballback/tour or RichardHerring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.